Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The
head coach.
Again, his speed. You can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in, Bucks fans. That didn't go necessarily like everybody thought. Bucks lose tonight, 108-94. Welcome to the extra stream here on The Fan, 105.7 FM, thefan.com. If you found us, you figured out how to get to us, which is always a good thing. Now you got to tell your friends and your family members how to get to us as well on nights when we're on the extra stream. It's a pretty cool deal. I will tell you that much. And very happy that we have this feature now in order to do it. So they lose 108-94. And my goal coming into this game was quite simple. My goal coming in was I simply wanted the Bucks to be in it going into the fourth quarter. That's what I wanted. And that's what I got. Bucks got on like a 19-5 run there at the end of the third quarter. Again, without Giannis. Giannis gets his fourth call on a ticky-tack call. Fourth foul, I should say, and ticky-tack call. Goes to the bench. Malcolm Brogdon was huge tonight. Absolutely huge tonight was Malcolm Brogdon. And speaking of Malcolm Brogdon and the numbers, let's go inside the box.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
Bucks lose 108-94 as we go inside the box tonight. John Henson, 26 minutes, 2 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 block shots, and 1 turnover for Henson. Giannis tonight, 36 minutes, 10 of 19 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3-point range, 3 of 3 at the line. You do want more than 3 free throws out of Giannis in a given game. Need more than that. 23 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, a block, and 3 turnovers. Chris Middleton, 37 minutes, 2 of 12, 1 of 5 from 3-point range, 8 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and a couple of turnovers. Eric Bledsoe, 32 minutes, 8 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3-point range, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 21 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 4 steals, and 3 turnovers for Eric Bledsoe. I don't think you can say Eric Bledsoe didn't do his deal. He did his deal tonight and knew what was expected. Malcolm Brogdon got the start again tonight and played extremely well for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. 40 minutes, 7 of 14 from the floor for the Milwaukee Bucks starter. 2 of 5 from 3, 1 of 1 from the free throw line. 17 points, 4 assists, 2 boards, 1 steal, and 1 turnover. To the bench we go. Tony Snell also played well tonight. 22 minutes, 4 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from the 3-point range, 11 points, 3 rebounds for Snell off the bench tonight. 21 minutes for Thon Maker, 2 of 5 from the floor, hit the only 3-point shot he took. 5 points, 4 boards, assist, 2 blocks, or 2 steals, I should say, and a block. Not sure you can ask for much more than what you got out of Thon Maker tonight. Dellavedova, 18 minutes. 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3-point range, didn't score again, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 1 block shot, 2 turnovers for Dellavedova. Sterling Brown got some run there in the first half, and I thought he played well, to be honest with you. 9 minutes, 1 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 1 from three-point range for Sterling Brown. 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block shot. The Bucks shoot 42.9%, Golden State torching it with 55% shooting from the field. 3-point shooting, 11 of 28 for the Bucks. Golden State, who lives and dies by the 3-point shot, they only took 15 threes. 5 of 15. Now, again, there was no Steph Curry tonight. Free throw shooting, 15 of 18 for Golden State. 11 of 12 for Milwaukee. Rebounds, 43 to 34. Golden State out-rebounds the Bucks tonight. Assists, 28 for Golden State, 21 for your Milwaukee Bucks. Turnovers, 12 for Milwaukee, 10 for Golden State. Neither team really turned over the ball all that much. 108 to 94 after the Bucks climb back from a 14-point deficit to take the lead on a 33-17 third-quarter run, really triggered by Malcolm Brogdon. And with Giannis, again, having 4 fouls, that was pretty amazing to get back into that game. And then the fourth quarter came. Their outside shooting froze up and went away, and that was the end of your Milwaukee Bucks tonight, but they played them tough for 3 quarters. Before I take a single call, let me first say, I do not want to hear fire kid stuff tonight. I'm not going to deal with it. Golden State is a more talented team. Let's start there. So coming into this game, if you thought they were going to win this game and should win this game, then you were misguided to begin with, and that's the end of that. So there we go. That's how we're going to start tonight. I don't want to hear fire kid stuff. I am not going to deal with it. Not going to. Because this has nothing to do with why they lost this game tonight. It has anything to do with Jason Kidd whatsoever. So, there you go. That's how we're going to start this. And I'm going to set the tone for this show nice and early and often. And if that means we don't get many calls, then so be it. But I'm not listening to fire kid crap tonight. 108-94, Giannis and the Bucks lose to Golden State. And for Golden State tonight, 26 points, 6 boards, 6 assists for Kevin Durant. 21 points, 10 boards, 7 assists for Draymond Green, LeRoy's favorite player in the whole wide world. A dozen points for Klay Thompson off the bench. Again, you only allowed 2 guys to really do anything. The rest of the team really didn't do anything to you, and you lost. And I didn't think Golden State's defense was all that good, to be honest with you. I really didn't. Wasn't impressed at all with Golden State's defense. I thought they were as misguided at times as the Bucks' defense was. And Golden State shot the ball well. You know, that's the other thing that goes along with this is the other team shoots the ball well. Not a lot you can do. And they shot 55%. All right, let's start it off with Rick, your first up here on the Fan. What's up, Rick? Rick? Hello, Rick. Is Rick there? I don't hear Rick. Is anybody else here, Rick? Because I don't. All right, let's try a different caller. Maybe it's just line one. Justin, North Carolina, you're next on the Fan. What's up, Justin?
Man, you know you got to come here first, big smart dog. Hey, listen, so we're going to talk about what lost this game, what's won this game for us, right?
Sure.
First of all the fire kid stuff is just stupid, and that's why you should come to me all the day because, you know, I'm pro-kid. But Kevin Looney won that game for him. He out-hustled and got second-chance opportunities when we forced misses. We had turnovers, blocks. We can't have people out-hustling us. We already know they have more talent than us, right?
Yep.
So we can't be out-hustled tonight. Like, Don, I don't know what you have to do, but put your butt on him. Your butt's not that big, but put a butt on that guy. Zaza Pachulia, second chance opportunities from him. Sparky, hopefully later on in the show you can go through the offensive rebounds that Looney and Pachulia and Draymond Green had, et cetera. But they just wanted the game more than us. They lost their game before, and they wanted to make sure they did not lose this game. And we can't have that. So third quarter, awesome third quarter by Malcolm Brogdon. I was in agreement with you. Fourth quarter, being in competition, I just wanted to have a shot 7 minutes to go in the game with a chance to play ball, and we had that shot. But I just feel like we did not capitalize on opportunities we had. You're not going to make every shot, so I can't get mad at Brogdon or Deli for missing shots because they were good shots that they took. That's all I ask. Is that growing up in basketball, Sparky, that's all we're taught. Get a good shot. But some of those shots by Snell, I'm like, bro, like, chill. Like, you got a guy down low, and you're taking a contested 3 on the break.
Yep. But why was that?
Because it was hot.
That's right. Yep. And most NBA players and college players and even high school players will do that. They want to see, they call it a heat check, is what how I hear play-by-play guys refer to it as a heat check. I mean, let's just see how hot I truly am at this point.
Yeah, but we had what, an air ball by Giannis, an air ball by Middleton.
Oh, yeah. There were air balls on both teams tonight.
Yeah. But and then the other thing, man, that fourth foul on Giannis, it may have been a blessing in disguise, but, you know.
It's a horrible call.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we'll skip over that.
It was a horrible call. It shouldn't have been a call. It wasn't a foul.
If you call that an offensive foul on Giannis, then half of KD's baskets should be offensive fouls.
Well,
he extends the elbow better than anybody. And you know, they had this big debate on ESPN about KD, about him being an elite scorer, being the best scorer. KD's amazing, but you know he's going to get his bucket. I thought the Bucks defense did a good job of, like you said, limiting two guys, but they just got unhustled by those other guys. So what do we got to do now, Sparky? We got to win Sunday.
You just regroup, come back, and you play the Heat on Sunday. By the way, no Milwaukee Bucks post-game show on Sunday afternoon, but we'll be back on Monday afternoon. So make sure to tune in for that one. Justin, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, bro. Keep it up, man.
Take care. You betcha. There he is, Justin, North Carolina. Yeah, no show on Sunday afternoon. But we will be back on Monday afternoon, a version of the postgame show. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show meets the big show Monday afternoon on the radio here on the Fan. You want to tune into that. Also, if you're a Brewers fan, David Stearns, Brewers general manager, will be on the big show on Monday at 5:05. And speaking of programming notes, if you missed the Mark Murphy interviews from Bill Michaels earlier today or from the big show, both of those up on Fan On Demand at 1057FMTheFan.com, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. Joel Southside, you're next on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Sark?
What's going on, dude?
Okay, when I'm watching the game, to me it's clear that Chris Middleton cannot be your second best player.
Yep.
And that's what he is.
Yep.
If he's his third best player, that's great. But he's your second best player, and you can't count on him because every night
he's streaky. He's going to be nights where he's going to look like he's unbelievable, and you're like, "Wow, he's a big three guy." And then there's going to be nights where you look at him and go, "Damn, he's a sixth man off the bench." I mean, he's just inconsistent. That's just kind of who he is.
Exactly. So if he's your third best player, that's great. To me, the third best player is Bledsoe. Obviously, the first is Giannis. Your second best player is Parker. Now I get it. You don't know what you have with Parker coming back, but you have to take the chance that he's going to come back, be healthy, be good. And if you take that chance and he's not, then you figure it out, because Middleton cannot be your second best player. And Spark, I know you hate this. I know you've talked about it. You hate DeAndre Jordan. I get it. However, DeAndre Jordan, when he's part of the big three, he's been part of a big three when he hasn't been part of the fourth best player in the league. And that's what Giannis is. He's the fourth best player in the league. Okay, behind.
Okay, but Joel, I understand what you're saying. But again, I'm not saying necessarily this year where this is going to be an issue. What I'm saying is, if you sign this dude to a long-term contract, DeAndre Jordan, then you are going to have, after next year, after your first year in the arena, Middleton becomes a free agent if he's still here, and Bledsoe becomes a free agent if he's still here after next season. Then, if Jabari goes in that deal, let's say, you are left with Giannis, DeAndre Jordan, and then what are you going to do? And then you will have to make a decision on who that third player is going to be, and that third player has to be a really good scorer in order for that to have any chance of working. Right?
Okay.
Do you agree?
You can I agree, but okay. You can find scorers more than you can find production at the five position. You watch, obviously, every Bucks game. How often do you see the ball put on a tee for that five position where it's Henson?
Joel, I'm not disagreeing with you that they need a better center than what they have. I agree with you 100%. All I'm saying is, when we get to the point where you've got to pay one of these guys, they have to make the determination of how much they really want to pay one of these guys and whether or not they want to commit. Whether that's him, whether that's Hassan Whiteside, whether that's Dwight Howard, whether that's DeMarcus Cousins, whoever it is, you have to make the determination as a general manager, and it sounds like if you were the GM, you would pay him. They have to make the determination when they give him this crazy amount of money that, okay, he's our second guy to Giannis, more than likely, or we go out and get a Paul George or somebody like that in order to play with Giannis and then this other player, and then hope that those two guys can score enough every night on top of whatever your role players are to win basketball games. Because DeAndre Jordan is not going to score the basketball. I mean, he's going to get you like 10 points a night. Yeah, I think his career average is 9. That's really what it comes down to. Thanks for the call. Whiteside was a better offensive player, and he forgot how to play offense this year. So his back to the basket game, brutal. I don't know what the heck happened to him. So we'll have to wait and see. But again, if you look at these latest rumors on DeAndre Jordan, the first one that we saw was the ESPN report, Lowe, wrote that article saying that, hey, you know, the Heat could very well give up Whiteside and Justice Winslow in order to get DeAndre Jordan. Bucks can't compete with that offer. Nope. Don't have the horses to match that. So that's not going to occur. Then this morning comes word that Cleveland may put Tristan Thompson on the block to try and get DeAndre Jordan or DeMarcus Cousins. First of all, there's no way I would do that deal if I was the Clippers or the Pelicans, because I don't want Tristan Thompson's long garbage contract to be saddled with for the rest of my life. So I wouldn't do it. But again, if they're looking for big men in return for these guys that are contracts are coming up, and they want a little bit more certainty long-term at that center position, again, the Bucks can't hang with that either, because I would assume 9 out of 10 teams are going to take Tristan Thompson over John Henson. So you're going to lose that too. I mean, now it's as more and more of these teams become known of who are going to be interested in these guys, it very well may be the Bucks don't have the horses or the assets in order to get this thing done at the end of the day. That's just going to have to be the reality of the situation. Everybody's just going to have to come to understand it, I think. But yes, I agree. Chris Middleton's probably not a big three guy. He's probably more of a sixth guy. And there are a lot of Chris Middleton fans that think I'm crazy and think he is a big three guy, which is fine. That's why we all have our opinions. I think they do need another score. And maybe that's Bledsoe, you know, going forward. He scored pretty consistently since he's been here. Maybe he's that other guy to go with Giannis and Jabari. But they have to have Jabari's offense night in and night out. And if he ends up being inconsistent like Middleton, then he's not going to be the answer either. But I believe that he will be a more consistent offensive player throughout the stretch of an entire season, probably more so than Middleton. But until he actually plays a full season, which he hasn't, we won't know the answer to that question. All right, I see Mike on the north side, Chris on the north side. You guys are all coming up next. Obviously, thanks for checking us out on the extra stream here on The Fan. You found it. Tell your friends, tell your family. This is where we are most of the time when the Admirals are playing. We will not have a Milwaukee Bucks Penguins Day postgame show on Sunday afternoon, but we will be back on Monday. But again, like I said, every time you hear us talk about being on the extra stream, this is where we are. The link isn't going to change, so save the link on Twitter or save the thing on Facebook. Put it in your phone so you know where the link is so you can click on it when the game's over. We will be here. Anytime we promote the fact, we'll be on the extra stream. Bucks lose tonight to the Warriors, and we got our new guy, Ryan, other side of the glass. He's going to give you a sports flash right now, and then we'll be right back. Like I said, no commercials. We're on the stream, no commercials. Here we go.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, so the Bucks come up on the short end tonight. Yes, they did. To the Golden State Warriors, 108-94. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Ryan, other side of the glass, helping out tonight. So during a sports flash, that Bledsoe alley-oop, was that your shot of the game? Is that what you're going to go with, Ryan?
I think that's what I'm going to go with. Or let's take a look. I got this as well. I mean, slim pickings tonight, obviously, Sparky.
Brogdon giving it up for Tony Snell. Straight on three.
That was a three-pointer to make it 25-23.
Yeah, you had the Giannis basket, two over Clay a little bit later in the game. I mean, they made a run to get back into that thing, and Brogdon came up big in that 19-5 run. So, again, you pick your shot of the game tonight. That one, I like the alley-oop in the beginning with blood. So, highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. They lose 108-94. It is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Got a half a pound of cheese on it, people. A half a pound of cheese. Ryan, you were working in Iowa the last couple of years. You ever have a pizza with a half a pound of cheese on it?
You know, in Iowa, the big pizza there is gas station pizza. It's Casey's General Store.
Yeah, you can go to Quick Trip up here and get gas station pizza. It's very good.
See, I'm originally from Chicago, as I told you, though.
Yeah, so. Quick Trip's a gas station. I was just giving you a hard time.
So, yeah, I mean, they do put a lot of cheese on the pizza in Iowa. See, I like the deep dish. I'm a deep dish guy.
That's
so
Chicago
I do like the
style.
Cheese. Yeah.
Like what? Like DiGiorno, not DiGiorno's.
Giordano's.
That's what I was thinking.
That's Giordano, the good stuff. Yeah. There's a couple hidden places, especially if you're out in the burbs, like where I'm from, Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah.
There's a couple hidden places. One's called Cimino's, and actually, in my opinion, the best pizza on the planet.
In Joliet?
In Joliet, Illinois.
Chicagoland Speedway.
We're known for a few things. Yes, the Speedway,
right.
The movie Rudy.
Yes.
My grandfather, Gordy Gillespie. And
really?
And the prison.
Your grandfather?
My grandfather. All-time winningest college baseball coach until he passed away, and then somebody surpassed him.
Wow. That's pretty cool. See, we learned stuff about our new part-timer tonight, Ryan. All right, so the Bucks lose tonight 108-94. Taking your calls here on the Extra Stream, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Mike on the north side, you're next on 105.7FMTheFan.com. What's up?
Hey, Sparky. We got to get rid of Deli because every time you run that guy out there, he can't make a shot.
Nope.
You know, he plays poor defense.
Yep. He tries on defense. He's a they'll say he's a gritty guy on defense. He tries hard.
Yeah, but he, you know, to me, I would give Sterling Brown the opportunity to get more minutes.
I'm with you.
And limit Deli's minutes because he's not bringing nothing to the team. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I agree with you 100%. So you think Sterling Brown should have played more in the second half?
Sterling Brown should have played more in the second half.
Yeah,
he brought defense. Matter of fact, he was shutting down Thompson.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreement with you whatsoever. But again, the reason they're not going to do that is because Dally's that veteran, and they're going to play veterans late in game situations.
Yeah,
they just are. Oh, I know. We don't disagree. I'm just telling you. That's how Jason Kidd is. George Karl was the same way when he was in Milwaukee. He hated playing rookies and wanted to play his veteran players because he was afraid of rookies making mistakes, being out of position, whatever the case may be, being a knucklehead at the wrong time in a learning moment. And you know, this team is trying to get themselves to 50 wins. That's what they're trying to do, regardless of how many people don't think they can get there. I do. That's what they're – look, they were on pace before this game. They were on pace for 45 wins.
Well, if you want to get there, then you need to start playing Sterling Brown.
Agreed.
Let this man get an opportunity to play. He plays like a veteran.
Yeah.
You know, he plays just like a veteran. He plays better than Deli, so he should have a chance to play.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I'm with you. We're together on that one. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I would love to see Sterling Brown on the floor more. I like to see John Kilpatrick on the floor more. I wouldn't mind seeing him call up Xavier Munson from the G League, who they made a two-way player. He can score. Let's see what he looks like. When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks going forward, all right, you know they need a center. We've talked about that to death for 2 weeks. So we're all in agreement there. Fine. But the other thing they need is still better bench players, guys. They just do. They need guys that can score off the bench somewhat consistently. And right now, if you look at the Bucks bench, and tonight, Snell did his job. He had 11. And then it's Dellavedova, who does not score. He really doesn't. And then Thon Maker, who's inconsistent and doesn't score consistently either. Let's look at Dellavedova for a second, shall we? Dellavedova, tonight, 0 points. Previous game against Orlando, 7. The previous game against Indiana, 0. The previous game against Washington, 0. The previous game against Toronto, 10 points on 3 of 6 shooting. Indiana, 3 of 3, 2 of 5 against Toronto, so 10, 8, 6 prior to that. He's averaging 5 points this month. He averaged 3.2 points in the month of December. 3.2 points. Now, in fairness to him, he didn't play the whole month because he was hurt, so he only played 6 games in the month of December, but averaged 3 points in that month. Yeah, $9 million a year for Matthew Dellavedova. As Bill Michaels would say, how are we looking? That is just amazing. But again, he's that gritty, hard-nosed player that can hit a three. That's what they brought him in for. But he's got to hit threes. Chris Northside, you're next on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show after the Bucks lose to the Warriors tonight, 108-94.
It's Trill, Sparky. What's up?
What's up, Trill?
Man, I'm upset, Sparky.
Why?
I'm so sick of watching Milton always struggle against better competition. You know, he struggled in the playoffs, and everybody assumed he tired himself down and he came back from the injury.
He pretty much, yeah, don't you remember Middleton during the playoffs said that he goes through this stretch every year where he's got to battle through fatigue and so forth, and that's what happened, and he's just got to learn how to handle it better.
Well, why does it always seem like when we play the cream of the crop or the better teams, he looks like a bench player?
I'd have to go back and look at game logs and stuff and see if that's true. But he definitely didn't play well tonight.
Another thing, kid with the Dellavedova experiment, he killed their momentum when he brought Dellavedova in. Another thing, he kept Bledsoe, and I know kid does this a lot with these rotations. He kept Bledsoe out too long. I understand Giannis going out. He has some foul trouble, ticky-tack foul trouble, and he's got to learn how to be better with those fouls too. But he can't keep Bledsoe out like that, especially when Milton's struggling and Giannis is out with foul trouble. Bledsoe has to play. Sometimes these guys got it, you know. Kid has been playing more minutes as a whole for the year, but that game could have been had last night if the Bucks would have kept the pedal to the metal. And by letting Golden State stay in, they did what a veteran team, championship caliber team, does.
Let me ask you this. I got a tweet here from Pack Attack. It says, stop with the big three talk. Stop talking Middleton as an all-star. He's a liability on defense and never shows up in big games. Would you agree with my response? I'm about to tweet back at him. I said, but he doesn't have to be a liability. That's up to him. With him, I really think he has just chosen that he's just not going to go all out on defense on the other side of the floor.
What happened to him?
Right? Don't you remember? He used to be a defender.
Yes, he used to be a really good defender. And all of a sudden now, every time I'm watching him now, he's getting ate for lunch.
You know what's funny about that? You want to talk about accountability and all that stuff? When that happens, he should be yanked and set on the bench next to Kidd, and it never happens.
And you know what, too, Sparky? I'm going to tell you something else. All of this, you know, Milton was supposedly the guy before Giannis grew up into his own and before Parker, you know, and we were wondering how these guys are going to mold and Milton was going to take the back seat. I'm sorry, but if he doesn't see that he needs to take a back seat when Parker comes back, we need to get rid of him. We need to trade him because he's not the player that he thinks he is. And I know we didn't have that much talent when he was having the seasons he was when Brandon Knight was here or whatever. And kudos to him for improving his game for what he was coming from Detroit. But he's not that player. So if he can't take a piece of humble pie and be the fourth option on this team and just help the team, that means he's going to get happy. His defense is going to have to get better. I think you use him as a trade piece because he can't be a part of a big three. That's my opinion.
I totally agree. He is a problem. Thanks for the call. And that's the thing. Everybody's retweeting and trying to get Middleton in. And I get it. You know, he's one of our guys, so you want to vote him in. You want to vote Bledsoe in. And that's what fans should do. And you look at him and go, boy, he's averaging 20 per night, Sparky. Five rebounds, four assists. He's having a pretty good year. Right, but he's not playing on the other side of the floor. And it's not that he can't play. Like, we talk about Glenn Robinson all the time. That dude, I'm telling you, he was limited athletically to a certain degree as far as going laterally to stay in front of people. That was just a hang up with his game, whichever way you wanted to look at it. But when you take a step back and you go, okay, what about now with Khris Middleton? We've seen Khris Middleton. I've seen it this year where Middleton plays for three and a half quarters. Not that great a defense, Olay defense, whatever you want to call it. And then at the end of the game in the last 3 or 4 minutes, all of a sudden he D's up his guy and looks like old Khris Middleton. Now, where was that for the rest of the game? I have no idea. But it's definitely become a thing this year. And when Jabari Parker comes back, the expectation is that Jabari Parker is going to start off the bench. At least that's what everybody seems to think is going to happen when he comes back next month. And that's fine. But then at some point, you are going to have to determine what then will be the move. Will Jabari stay on the bench and try to help that bench with bench scoring? As I always say, going into a restricted free agent year with money on the line. Or will he demand to be in the starting lineup and get his way and be in the starting lineup, and Middleton will go back to being the shooting guard? And then we have the possibility of a trade, which I can't imagine they're trading Jabari Parker if he's not going to play before the trade deadline. So I think that pretty much negates that, which now leaves Middleton if you are going to try and make a move. Me personally, I don't think I'd move any of them. Middleton, Brogdon, Giannis, or Bledsoe. I'm going to try and win with what I've got. And, like I continue to say, go with a cheaper option at center and see what it does for the rest of the year. Because I think Parker really is going to help that much. So, we'll see if I'm right or wrong at the end of the day. And I know Terrell's a big guy as well. Chris Sweet said, the fan, you guys are right, because there's a bunch of people going after Kidd on Twitter, like they always do. He says, you guys are right. Kidd missed all the shots in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Tommy D tweets at the fan, Bucks need upgrades over Henson and Dele, and they expect to get out of the first round of the playoffs. I agree with you from the perspective, because Henson's played pretty good, or decent at least, since he's got this starting job, because he doesn't look over his shoulder anymore. I think the bigger thing is you need upgrade over Thon and Henson. So Henson then becomes that backup, and that starter then can get in there and start, or Henson stays a starter, and a guy like Bogut, whoever comes off the bench instead of Thon. I think that would also work going forward. You just need somebody that can get in there in crunch time and not get bullied in the paint and be able to stand up to these dudes. That's what it is. At the end of the day, I think. And we'll have to wait and see. Maurice tweets at the fan, I don't care what you people think over at your station. The head coach of the Bucks is so bad with lineups. Fire Kidd. Maurice, here's a phone number, big guy. Here's a phone number. You call in right now, put you on. Right here on the Extra Stream, I'm sure you're listening, and you can tell me, and I'll write them down, the lineups that you would play and what your rotations are for the Bucks. Who should play with who, all your groupings, and then I'll send it over to Jason Kidd, and we'll see what he says in response to your lineups. I mean, if you've got this on lock, that man, Jason Kidd's an idiot. Anybody knows that. These group of guys should be playing with these group of guys, and this is exactly what the rotation should be, and these guys should come out at these specific times. And you've got this on lock, Maurice, at Maurice_Ellis. Then by all means, email me if you want, or email the studio account. Doesn't matter. Either one. Sparky at 1057fmthefan.com, or use our live account, live at 1057fmthefan.com account, and email all of the groupings and rotations. So email me a starting lineup. That's easy. Anybody can do that, right? The starting lineup. Then email me the rotations of how guys are going to play. Like at what minute mark is Giannis going to come off? Who's going to go in? You know, your substitution pattern that you would play in games as far as that goes going forward. Just send me all of it. And then, you know, I'll send it over to the Bucks and we'll see what happens. It's pretty funny. You know, back in the day when this station was new in its infancy, Peter Brown always would get our old afternoon show host, our first one, hated Coach K at Duke. And Coach K hated him. And it was mutual. They both didn't like each other. Okay, fine. Because Peter Brown was a national guy before he came to Milwaukee. So he knew a lot of these guys. So I don't know if you remember Seth Greenberg. He was a coach at Virginia Tech for a while and so forth. And now he's on ESPN. So at that point, when we had started the station, Seth Greenberg was a coach at Virginia Tech. And him and Peter were friends over the course of time. And he would always come on our show here in Milwaukee all the time. It was so great because Peter knew all these guys. We always had these national guests on. It was awesome. So Seth would always come on. And I was producing Peter Brown's show when we first started the station. And he told Seth Greenberg, he's like, man, seriously, it's not that hard to beat these guys. I mean, I don't understand what your problem is. You send me the scouting reports and all that other stuff. I'll write you how to defend these guys and how to beat these guys. Seth's like, okay, big shot. Fine. I'll send you everything. And you fill it out and you send it back. Peter's like, fine, done. So sure enough, we get it here at the radio station, this big package with the scouting report paperwork. He sent him DVDs of game film and everything else on Duke, the whole deal. Peter filled it all out, whole deal, sent it back. And then I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Dude, they lost in overtime to Duke. And Peter was losing his mind. He's like, God! They had him. They had him right there, whatever else. It was so funny. And Seth Greenberg is like one of the nicest, coolest dudes in the whole wide world. But that's like the only time I can ever remember where a coach actually called out a radio guy
dared the radio guy to do it. He did it, filled it out. The coach pretty much kind of used exactly what, to a certain degree, what Peter had said. And it came all the way down. They went to overtime and they lost. And, man.
You think you'll ever see anything like that ever again?
I mean, you'd really have to have a good relationship between a host of a radio or TV show
right.
with that coach.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, nationally, nobody knew Seth Greenberg did that in Milwaukee with Peter Brown. Now, if Peter would have been on ESPN still back in the day or whatever and did that nationally, I don't think Seth ever even makes that, even attempts to do that, because people are like, dude, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's having some radio guy do a scouting report for him. So you understand,
right.
It's different when you're in Milwaukee. You're not close to Virginia Tech. You're not close to Duke. Nobody nationally is listening. Hell, it was our first or second year on the air here. Literally nobody was listening outside of like five people. So that was a safe call on his part, and they were having fun, and they were guys, whatever else. So, yeah, you're I think that's very, very rare that you would ever see it. But, I mean, in Maurice's case here, hey, man, like I said, I'll send it over. I know people over there. They'll get it to him. Now, he may laugh and delete the email or whatever the case may be, but I'll give it a shot for you. If you think you could do his job better than him and you know lineups and rotations better than him, then by all means, email it all over. I'll send it over to the Bucks, and we'll see if Jason Kidd uses your stuff.
I feel like that's any profession, though. Doesn't everything always look easier before you do it?
The one thing that I will say, Ryan, is, for me at least, I will criticize a general manager. I will criticize a manager of a baseball team or a coach of a basketball team or a football team. I will criticize on my spare time bowling show. I'll criticize PBA bowlers. I'll criticize different things with how it's run. Whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in my career I've ever said that I could be better. I could be a manager in baseball, or I could be a GM in football, or I could be a commissioner of a sport, or whatever it is. I don't know if I'm smart enough to do any of these things, but I am kind of opinionated and stubborn, and that's kind of how I've always been. Even before I got on the radio back in the day when Tim Allen and I would just talk on the phone, the host of the baseball postgame show here, the Brewers postgame show, who everybody loves, we call him the franchise. Even back then, when I was his intern and been friends with him since, what, 94, I mean, it's the same conversations we'd have on the phone that I now have on the radio with everybody listening.
And people forget it's not just the X's and O's either. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, especially at the professional level.
Absolutely. And then Steve Kerr today during Fox Sports Wisconsin pointed out that, you know, what makes a great team is being able to get everybody to buy in and play at a consistent level night in, night out. And that really is the toughest deal. And that is why when you talk about great coaches, Phil Jackson, all right, he's a great psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Tex Winter was the X's and O's guys. He was the one that ran that triangle offense and did everything in Chicago and did everything with the LA Lakers. He was older than dirt by the time he even started doing that stuff for Chicago. He'd been doing it for many, many years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the guy that kind of did that. And then Phil was the guy that was the guy that pushed the buttons on different guys, got to read different books, got in their heads.
Yep.
That's what he was. If you look at the Bulls, Doug Collins got that team to a certain point. Phil got him over the hump. Del Harris got that Lakers team to a certain point. Phil got him over the hump. That's kind of what it is. He kind of ended up being the closer because he got that psychology aspect of it. And it wasn't necessarily about the X's and O's for Phil. Yes, he could drop a play and all of that. He wasn't an idiot or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But the biggest thing about him that made him so successful was being able, that Zen crap, he was able to get inside guys' heads and understand how to motivate guys and get guys to go.
And that's a perfect example. I mean, look at when they signed Dennis Rodman. You know, everybody thinks right. that's a super team, but nobody wanted to touch Rodman at that point when he was leaving San Antonio. I mean, he was kind of a mess. And Phil, I mean, that's how we're talking about managing different players different ways. Rodman was allowed to show up before the game about 35 minutes. He'd fly to Vegas the night before.
Right.
You know, obviously everybody didn't have the
everybody
same rules.
Everybody had different
I'm sure,
rules.
I'm sure Judd Bushler wasn't allowed to be at the craps table until 4 a.m.
Okay, but again, right, everybody was different.
Right.
I mean, Michael Jordan, I've had the privilege of meeting and knowing Michael Jordan for a while, but I mean, the difference here is that, like with Jordan, you talk to people around him. Like when he was, or still is, in Charlotte,
yeah,
in the beginning, I remember talking to some of his scouts, and they're like, dude, you wouldn't even believe it. We were at the airport, all getting ready to fly out of Orlando one year.
where the combine was.
Yeah.
And I was with his scouts, and we were all sitting around talking, and they're like, man, he had us at this restaurant last night. They closed it down, right? And he sent the people at the restaurant to the liquor store to go get more wine for them to continue going until they were all done. Then they went back. They were all done. He went back and continued watching film or whatever else. Got like 4 hours sleep, got back up, and was up and had breakfast before the rest of them even thought of getting up.
That's insane.
They said he doesn't sleep. He can go on fumes all the time. And so they seemingly is. He's got this thing that he does to people. I mean, he's always hustling. But this thing that he loves doing to people is he loves telling random people, you pick any round, any pick in any round, from the time I'm drafted to now, and I'll tell you who the pick was and who the team was and where the kid played.
That's insane.
That is a crazy good memory. That's a crazy good memory. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
He can do it. And you can go ahead and challenge him yourself if you don't believe me, if you ever meet Michael Jordan.
I think more amazing that was the fact that he used to play 18 holes of golf before every game.
Right.
I mean, with no car, just walking 18 holes, I'm burned out, man. If I go golfing at 6 a.m., I'm not doing anything the rest of the day.
Okay, right. But that tells you about the elite specimen that he was, and now you transfer that over to today's NBA, and what do we have? Guys resting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need rest. I'm not going to be fresh for the playoffs. I have to get my rest. That stuff. But again, that's what made Michael Jordan great, and I don't know Giannis necessarily yet as far as how he's going to play out his career going forward, but he is working his tail end off day and night. Yeah. Day and night. Now, like tonight, they're going to fly to Miami, so you won't see him working out the practice facility late at night, whatever else, but he's over there late at night. Thon's over there late at night after games, shooting and working on their craft and trying to get better. That's what you want to see, and that's pretty much all you can ask. And now, tonight, nights like tonight, where everybody gets all upset, oh, they should have won this game. Everybody got cold in the fourth quarter. Say what you want. They were in this thing through three. They made a run without Giannis even on the floor. He was on the bench when they got the lead back, got it all the way up to, I think, 4 points. And then everybody kind of went cold. And I'm seeing people tweeting that they should have gotten the ball more. Okay, fine. I'm going to disagree. You always want to get Giannis more shots. I totally agree with you. But Brogdon was going. Snell was going. You had a couple guys that were feeling it a little bit, so you were going to kind of ride that. The Dellavedova thing, I understand why he goes in because, again, he's the point guard, moved the ball around, all that fun stuff. Did he really help things? I'm not sure he really helped things at all tonight. Bucks lose tonight 108-94 to the Golden State Warriors. Time for another Sports Flash. With Ryan, and we'll be back right after the Sports Flash. If you want to jump aboard, here's your chance, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Defensive play of the game tonight. You heard it there in the Sports Flash. Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin tonight. The Bucks come up on the losing end. If you missed it in the Sports Flash, I'll play it for you right now. This one here, John Henson with the block shot here on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Block shot Henson. He stuffs Draymond Green.
Always nice when you stuff Draymond Green. You know what I realized tonight as the Bucks again come up on the losing end to the Golden State Warriors tonight, a game in which they were close for three. Fought all the way back and couldn't finish 108-94. I realized tonight they've got a couple different guys I don't like on that team. Like, I don't like Draymond Green. I don't know how many of you like Draymond Green. Leroy Butler loves Draymond Green. It's like his favorite basketball player playing right now. It used to be Kobe. Now, it's Draymond Green. I don't like Draymond Green. I really don't like Nick Young. Nick Young's another guy. Man, cannot stand me some Nick Young. No. Swaggy P or whatever they call that dude. Nope, not a fan. And again, he had a couple threes tonight, and he was feeling a little bit throughout the game. Sean tweets at the fan, this happened last week at Toronto. Giannis didn't touch the ball for the first 3.5 minutes of overtime. Yeah. And again, they have to figure out a way to get him the ball. And if that means him bringing the ball up and running point guard, then fine. Then bring up the ball and let him be that guy running the offense. And let him decide who gets the ball and if he wants to take the ball at the rim or if he wants to get somebody set a pick for him or whatever. I'm totally fine with that. I got no problem with that whatsoever. JRH3 says, Sparky's just not that great of a player. His shot is too inconsistent, and he is not athletic enough to compensate. He's a good, serviceable NBA player. That is about it. Talking about Chris Middleton, who has come under fire here tonight. Yes, I agree he is inconsistent, but again, he's averaging 20 points a night. So whether he's inconsistent or not, it's still 20 a night, and while there are some players in the league that will average 20 a night, to do it over the course of an NBA season is still an accomplishment, no question. But if we're talking about you needing a big three, in my mind, those are star players. Those are borderline all-star players. For Giannis, he needs somebody like a Paul George, somebody at that level. If you're going to say Giannis is at the in that top tier of NBA stars, and I don't know if he's there, but if you're saying he's there with LeBron, he's there with Kevin Durant, he's there with all those other guys, I think now you need that second player to go along with him. Klay Thompson, Paul George. Think of your secondary big three type guys that can go along with him. Those are the type of players that he needs. And I think that Jabari Parker can be one of those guys. And I know about the defense. We don't have to go over the defense. We go over the defense all the time with him. But as we've talked about consistently, Middleton ain't very good either. So, I mean, that's the deal. Now, again, we have guys that are responding about trying to defend Middleton. EVP says, how is Middleton a liability on defense? EVP, watch a game. Count how many times people blow by Chris Middleton. And he's using the Durant argument. No, watch him the entire game. Just watch him. Go back and watch any of the last several games, Middleton defending anybody in the first three quarters of the game or so. Just not the same defensive player he was. And you can see in the end of close games when they need a stop how much his defensive intensity picks up and how much better he becomes. Now, you can use the argument, well, Sparky, he can't play that hard all the time. Okay, fine. I mean, if that's the reason why he doesn't do it, so be it. I'm just telling you, he's not the same defensive player that he was. I just don't buy it at all. He doesn't look like the same guy to me. So if it's more about offense for him, because again, remember, him and Bledsoe both free agents after this year. Both of them. So you also have to take that into account as well. Chris tweets at the fan, I wonder if people realize they just didn't make shots. They got out hustled in the fourth. Honestly, Giannis going to the bench was the spark in the third. That was the reason they came back. Should have rolled that out longer. So Chris is advocating, I think, and Chris, if I'm reading this tweet wrong at 105.7 FM, the fan, please tell me, but are you advocating that they should have kept Giannis out of the game longer versus bringing him back? That's what you're saying? I think that's what he's saying in this tweet. I could be wrong, but I think that's what he's saying. So that's something else. Let's see. Got another tweet here. Got a bunch of different tweets coming in. Luke tweets at the fan. One reason I don't like Brogdon starting, it means Dele has to come in to spare Bledsoe. But he doesn't, Luke. He doesn't. Sterling Brown can come in and be a traditional shooting guard. That is what can happen. Your rotation could be, if wanted, it could be Brogdon, Bledsoe, Sterling Brown. Those three guys could rotate in, and Snell could rotate in between starting guards and point guards and two guards. Easily could do that. Bledsoe could play with Brown or Snell. Brogdon could play with Brown or Snell. And when Parker comes back, you can play that goofy lineup where Chris Middleton is the two. And then Parker and Giannis are the three and the four, and whatever way you want to stack them up. Last year, Parker was the four, which I didn't like. And then whoever your center is. So, yeah. I mean, you could obviously do that. I'm all for letting Sterling Brown play more. I'm all for more letting Sean Kilpatrick play more. But again, guys, with all due respect, said this the other day, many of you
wanted this rotation cut short much earlier in the season, right? Many of you complained, and did so this year again, in the beginning of the year, why are they playing 10, 11 guys for? Why do we have to play all these guys? Why can't he just play 8 or 9 guys? That was your biggest beef about Jason Kidd. It has been his entire time here. And hey, as I told you, the first 2 months of the year, experiment. Goes kind of experiment and try to see what works. And about mid-January or so, he'd understand what his rotation was going to be, and that's kind of what he went with the rest of the year. By about February, he had it figured out. This year, again, because of the lack of bench depth, I think would be his reason, and being able to trust these young guys, he's pretty much been playing the same 8 or 9 guys all year long. And really, nobody else gets run unless it's a blowout. So now he is kind of doing what you all wanted him to do. But now you're upset because the 8 or 9 guys he's playing, some of these guys ain't working. Which didn't work previously either when you were getting upset that they weren't giving him more run. Anthony tweets at the fan, God, Dele gets on my nerves when every player scores at least a point and you got a guy on the court who has a 0 points in the fourth quarter. What do you expect the result to be? I can't speak for John Hammond because he's the one that brought Dellavedova in. Can't speak for him. I don't know what he was thinking. I'll tell you what I think he was thinking. And Jason Kidd, both. When rumors started floating around about Dele, there was one team attached to him immediately, the Bucks. Then there were rumors that they were going to the Cleveland playoff series as well. That's how hot the trot they were. Now, again, those were reports. So they wanted Dellavedova badly. It almost seemed like he was target number one that offseason. They were going to get him at all costs. And they did. $9 million a year. So that's really what it is. And I think it was three-point shooting. I think it was gritty, tough defense, get under people's skins, try and shake them a little bit. And then the third thing they tried to sell you was, boy, he's got that experience, you know? He's been to the top of LeBron. He's got that experience. That counts for something. That's what you want in your locker room. And to be fair, he's a great locker room guy. I've never heard a bad word about Dellavedova as a locker room guy. He's exactly what they thought he was when they brought him in from that standpoint. He just hasn't been that guy on the floor. I mean, he literally doesn't provide any offense. Nothing. JTorrey79. And because Kidd wanted Dele to get more looks, Dele was hot. It was smart of our great coach to leave him in for most of the fourth quarter. I will agree with all of you that have your takes on Dellavedova versus Sterling Brown. Yes, I'm fine with Sterling Brown playing more minutes than Matthew Dellavedova going forward until Dellavedova figures it out. I'm with you. No questions asked. All right, time to hear from Bucks head coach Jason Kidd here on The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE.
This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Golden State Warriors, 108-94. Jason Kidd talked after the game, and this is what he had to say.
I don't want to say the correct word, flow. I thought the second half the ball was moving. We just can't make open shots, you know. Understanding in that third quarter kind of set the tone for us. We moved the ball, we moved bodies, set screens. Guys were getting wide open looks. And, you know, I thought, you know, that was kind of the set that second half, and we were going to build on that in that fourth quarter. We just couldn't make shots. The ball was moving, but we just can't make shots.
In that third quarter, you guys do a little bit better job against Durant, then obviously hit some shots big down the stretch. What did you think of your defense on him tonight?
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the world, and, you know, we put length on. We put Giannis on him to try to, you know, discourage him. But, again, he works extremely hard. No matter if you're 7 feet or if you're 6 feet, you know, he just doesn't see you. And he just shoots over you, and that's why he's one of the best players in the world. Again, we try to make it tough on him. as tough as you can. And I thought the guys did a good job. Again, in that third quarter, the ball's moving. Defensively, we're active. We're getting deflections and steals, and we're going, you know, the other way. And we're rebounding the ball and winning the 50-50s. But, again, I thought the guys, when Giannis came out, I thought the guys did a really good job of maintaining a lead. And then when we brought them back, understanding that, you know, Golden State's defense is one of the best in the league, and they showed tonight why.
Jason, Giannis is still young enough. He can pick up lots of things. But when he's got these matchups, especially against Durant, is there something that you're hoping that he can glean from Durant that he can take with him moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I think you look at all the young players in this league, you know, look at Durant before, you know, he's been in the league for some time now. He's gone through the same thing of going against, you know, guys that might be a little bit better, that are up for the challenge to slow him down. And so for Giannis, it's just understanding that every night, no matter if we're playing Golden State or another team in this league, they're all going to, you know, get up to guard him and slow him down. And so I thought tonight he did a really good job of getting his teammates involved. Again, we're getting a lot of wide open looks that aren't going in right now. So for Giannis, is continue to stay hungry, keep driving the ball and making plays for his teammates.
You mentioned that time when Giannis goes out, it really just seemed like Malcolm took over in that kind of period. What did you think of his performance tonight, and what does it mean that a guy like Malcolm in his second year can come off the bench and do that for you?
Yeah, I thought Malcolm was great. You know, being able to guard Thompson, we gave him that assignment, and then also be able to run the offense and take advantage of the ball movement and, you know, understanding, making plays for his teammates, but then also teammates looking for him around the three-point line because he made some big shots for us.
You know, Sterling came in and gave you guys some quality minutes there in the first half. What did you see from him, especially the way that he was really attacking on the defensive end?
Yeah, I thought his energy was great. I thought he gave us a spark there in that first half, and that's something that we're going to need. And again, looking at his minutes, he'll start to get more minutes as we go forward in the second half. But I thought the group that was out there was playing extremely well.
Chris, just 2-for-12 tonight, had a turnover late. What do you attribute his struggles to tonight?
Yeah, I think, again, we're going to have some points in the season where the ball just doesn't go in. You just got to keep fighting, and we believe Chris will work through this little slump that he's...
There you go. Jason Kidd believes Chris Middleton will work through the slump that courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Time now to hear from our guy.
Now, a Bucks post-game update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show.
All right, so the Bucks come up with a losing end tonight, 108-94. And our guy, Gary Wolfel, the Racine Journal-Times, wolfelspressbox.com, joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good evening, Gary.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm all right. Look, I, for me, and I think you said the same thing when you were on Thursday on the Big Show, was the goal was pretty much be in this thing going into the fourth quarter, see what happens. And they went on a big run without Giannis to end the third quarter. They were in it to start the fourth quarter, got the lead. They were up four. And then they went cold shooting the basketball, and that was it.
Yeah, and, you know, Steve Kerr did the Bucks a favor, and that's why he's a great basketball coach. And you and I are just commentating on the game. But he plays Durant the entire third quarter, okay? And, of course, then he sits him early in the fourth quarter, and you're wondering, okay, when is he going to bring him back? There's 7 minutes left. There's 6 minutes left, and finally around about 5 minutes and 30 seconds left, he inserts Durant back into the game, and you saw it happen. He was fresh, and he just absolutely took over the game.
Do you think Steph Curry could have played tonight?
Yeah. I mean, if it was an important game to him, it would be. You know, which brings this up, Steve. Before the game, I was talking to Klay Thompson, my guy, okay?
Yep.
And I said to him, I said, you know, what he thought, or I asked him what he thought of the Bucks and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you can go to the bank, that they're going to be up for you guys tonight. And he goes, yeah, every team's up for us. And then I said, okay, what teams do you get up for? And he pauses and he goes, none.
He's so cocky. It's just so ridiculous.
None. Yep. And then he goes, well, maybe Cleveland, but the only time we really get up is for the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. And that is kind of what Tyronn Lue is working against with Cleveland. That's what Kerr is working with in Golden State. Because you have these players, these star players, who have rings, who have been in the mountaintop, and don't worry about the regular season. They're just going through the motions. And because of that, and when you have so many stars, for instance, tonight, no Steph Curry and Klay Thompson sucked.
Right.
And they
right.
still won.
Precisely. And they got some really nice performances from several guys. But one of them was Kevon Looney. The pride and joy of Milwaukee Vincent. And
9 points, eight boards, three assists, yeah. and a block. He was at Hamilton.
And I'll tell you what, they did not extend his contract. I don't know if you saw that or not. But he's a free agent this summer. And if I'm John Horst, man, I take a long, hard look at that guy because he's only, I think, 21, if I'm not mistaken. And I know he's had some health concerns.
Back, right?
Hips.
Yeah. Yep.
And But I'll tell you what, I mean, again, he played 22 minutes tonight, got 8 rebounds. And he's had several really nice games this year. But, you know, the Warriors are concerned about their salary situation and didn't extend them. So, again, I think he's going to be a nice pickup for somebody.
I like Patrick McCaw, too. They bought him last year, and I liked him coming out of college. I didn't know how good he'd be in the NBA, but I think he's going to turn into a real nice player for the Golden State Warriors.
Jerry West, obviously.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, about this game tonight, I guess to a certain degree, Chris Middleton has come under fire on this show tonight from people on social media and on the phone about his lack of defense this year compared to other years. Have you noticed that?
It's not quite as good. I still think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty solid. But there are moments, and some people, you know, contend that's because of the hamstring, that he hasn't been the same since that. I don't know. I mean, I still think he's one of their better defenders. And, you know, I mean, if the rest of the guys guarded as well as him, I think they'd be a much better team.
I challenge you to watch him in the next game.
Yeah.
Watch him against the Heat. Watch him the whole game. Because I think there's a noticeable drop-off as far as guys blowing by him, him not staying in front of guys. And then you can see in certain games where it's close at the end, then it looks like Chris Middleton. Then he clamps down, and then he plays the aggressive style defense and stays in front of his guy. First two, three quarters of the game, it's not the same guy. Now, again, maybe I'm imagining things. Maybe he was always that way, and I just never noticed it. But for me, at least, that's what it looks like to me this year. And if you're going to win going forward, everybody's got to play their role. And when Jabari comes back, Middleton has to be a defender for all four quarters. He can't just be a defender for, you know, the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
And he's got to be a factor on offense. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But wait a second. Hold on. Not necessarily, though, because this goes back to Golden State and what Klay Thompson said. We don't get up for anybody. Why? Because you have so many scores. You have Klay Thompson, you have Durant, right. You have Draymond, and you have Steph Curry. So one or two guys can have an off night, and you have two other guys go. And you score 108 points. That's the luxury this team will have when Jabari Parker comes back, where if Middleton has this off night, but Jabari's playing, they're right there with Golden State over 105, 110 points, whatever it may be.
Right. No, I agree with that as well. You know, in a game like tonight, I mean, he just was a non-factor. And, you know, Giannis, you know, had his moments, but I'll tell you what. Did you see the time, by the way?
Kevin Hold on Durant? One second, Gary. Hold on. We're now back on the radio from our alternate stream, so welcome into everybody on AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome into the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Ryan, other side of the glass, producing tonight. His first show producing by himself. 108.94, the Warriors over the Milwaukee Bucks. Talking with Gary Wolfel here as we've been on for the last hour or so. He joins us from the Racine Journal Times. What's up, Gary? Go ahead.
I'm doing well. You know, I always get a kick out of people saying, you know, superstars for the most part are jerks. And there's some truth to that. But one of the exceptions is Kevin Durant. And the reason I say that is before the game tonight, after he was done warming up, he came off the court and headed to the locker room. And I would say there were probably 40 or 50 people that wanted his autograph, you know?
Yep.
And most of the star players might sign one or two. A lot of them don't sign any, right? I'll bet he signed at least 30 to 40 of them.
Wow.
And he was just, you know, the perfect gentleman. And, you know, if you're rooting for a star, I guess that's one of the guys you root for.
No, I'm not rooting for Kevin Durant. No. I might be a great guy, but I'm not rooting for him. No.
Now, why don't you like Kevin Durant? I think he's really, you know, got the package.
There's something. I don't know. This, to me, I'll tell you what this feels like to me. Remember the T.O. Donovan McNabb situation?
Yeah.
Where that locker room was split and there was Team T.O. and Team McNabb?
Right.
I think there's something along those lines that happened in OKC with Durant and Westbrook. So in that situation, I tend to point fingers really at both. But then you hear guys talk about how great of a teammate Westbrook is and everything else. I've never heard anybody talk about that way about Kevin Durant. So to me at least, I kind of lean towards Westbrook in that thing, thinking Durant might have been an issue. But I don't know that for sure. I just go off of what I know, and what I know is I don't see many people talking about Kevin Durant being some great teammate. I haven't seen it, so whatever it is.
From a media perspective, I mean, I judge that. I actually spent probably an hour with Kevin Durant a couple years ago. He came down to Racine for Caron Butler's camp.
Sure.
And Caron and his son and myself and Kevin Durant and another individual, you know, sat around and talked. And, you know, he was as nice as could be. I interviewed him, you know, several times before that. I interviewed him tonight. And maybe it's because I did meet him that, you know, he has a different, you know, approach. But he just seems like a genuinely, you know, nice guy. So,
Gary Wolfel, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. No postgame show on Sunday. Back at it on Monday. Big show meets the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Gary Wolfel, Great Midwest Bank Hotline, committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. We'll get to a sports flash, and we'll come back and wrap this bad boy up.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
.108-94 Golden State over the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Ruler of the backboard for the Bucks tonight with 8 rebounds. He is John Henson, your ruler of the game. That'll do it tonight. For the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Thanks so much for listening to us on our alternate stream tonight, our extra stream, as we call it, here on The Fan. Again, no postgame show on Sunday. We will be back on Monday. I have a 1 o'clock tip. Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show meets the big show Wednesday afternoon. Bucks lose 108-94. Thanks for tuning in. CBS Sports Radio coming up next. Toodles!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.